afternoon, good afternoon.
God bless you.
Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study, continuing from Revelation chapter 2, speaking about the seven churches and the spirit, the messages that God sent, Christ sent to the seven churches. We left off talking about the church. And the issue that they're having with mixing sex and worship. It's going to be a continuing theme as we move forward. Let's get right into it because I want to make sure I can get this one complete. Chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18 of Revelation. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, who has his eye like unto the flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a priestess, to teach and to seduce my servant to commit him fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I give her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. I said I wasn't going to read all of it, but some is too good not to read. Verse 22, behold, I will cast her into the bed, and them that committeth adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deed. And I will kill her children with death, and all the church shall know that I am he which searches the reins of the heart, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put unto you none other burden, but that which ye have already held fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall be ruler, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessel of a potter shall they be broken into shards, even as I receive of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Well, the problem in Thyatira, in Thyatira, was the Jezebel spirit, the Jezebel legacy. False worship, eating things sacrificed to false gods, fornication, having sex in the temple. Sex is a way of persuasion. You know, if you do this for me, I'll give you a little. It sounds like us today. Sometimes we're always bargaining for something, one thing or another. Back then, you know, it's a woman would, you know, trade her most precious item little power and prestige. We see that, you know, we see that today in the world. We see that a lot today in the world. It shouldn't be in the church. You shouldn't have to trade your virtue to get ahead or get promoted or to have opportunity in the church. The Jezebel spirit is not a harlot spirit. It's a usurper spirit. It wants power by any means necessary. If you can't get it legitimately, it will connive its way in. It'll use blackmail and positioning and leverage to get an opportunity to flow in that higher level of authority. Now, this is important because the Jezebel spirit is not limited to women. Oh, you didn't hear me. Jezebel spirit is not limited to women. A lot of men use leverage and positioning and trying to have something on you to get you to do something, trying to be manipulative one way or another to corner you into doing something that either you had not agreed to or you would never agree to. But they have something on you. They figured out where you itch. They're trying to scratch where you itch. And there's a lot of destruction coming. God really doesn't like that. A lot of destruction, but there's a lot of blessing for those who have not spoken those words. And it's interesting that God uses the phrase "has not spoken it." You read the story of Ahab and Jezebel, the part where she sends word to the prophet Elijah after he's killed the 450 priests of Baal, and she tells him that let it be done to me if I do not do this to you by this time tomorrow. And the Bible says, and when he saw what she said, so when he conceived in his mind that what she's saying was a reality, that he ran and he sent his servant one way and he went the other one. I believe that's 1 Kings 18 or 19. And it starts the whole descent of Elijah until he has lost his faith in God and he doesn't want to do any more preaching and he can't be consoled even by angels coming to visit. Words have power. You have to be careful how you use words, especially if you're in ministry or in leadership, because words have power. You don't know how that word is going to manifest in somebody else. You may have said something innocent, but the way they receive it is going to have an impact, negatively or positively, depending on what you said. So be careful the way you use words. And we should never use our words to try to manipulate people into doing something. We should give a person an opportunity to do something. And if they do not, we shouldn't try to guilt them or guile them into doing it or manipulate them into doing none of that. If you do this for me this time, I'll do, you know. None of that is of God. Amen. All right, let's move forward. Chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. I know your works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Wow. Talk about dead works. Talk about dead works. It's interesting that it begins with, says that he that hath the seven spirits of God. Now, I gave you an assignment back in chapter 1 to figure out what were the seven spirits before the throne. I believe those are the seven spirits of God. What are the seven spirits of God? That's your new assignment. What are the seven spirits of God? I want you to think on that, do some research on that, and get back to me on the Facebook page. Let's see if we can make a determination what are the seven God. I'm not going to do your work for you. You're going to have to read and study. Amen? All right. But I know if I work, but thou have a name that liveth, but are in, thou art dead. Be watchful, verse 2, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. But here's a warning to this church. They're doing good works. Listen, they're doing good works, but there's no good in them. They're going through the motions. Through the motions. How many of us have gone through the motions? You know, you're an usher, you come and you usher every week. You wear your gloves on first or fourth Sunday. You go through the motions every week. You have no more passion for it. The people sitting on the pulpit, they preach every week, they have no more passion for it. They're just going through the motions. And they think that going through the motions will please God. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. Part of faith, which is an action word, has to do with the right mindset, the right intent, the right desire towards something. God wants you to be on fire for him. He wants you to be passionate for him. He wants you to want to serve. Not to serve out of obligation, or not to serve out of because there's nothing else to do. The game don't start till 1, so I'm just going to go to church and serve. I was out last night. I got a headache, so I'm going to just go to church and serve. If I don't go to church and serve, I don't get my stipend. I don't get my $200 this week. I don't go to church and serve. None of that pleases God. He wants you to do what you do for the kingdom, out of the burning desire to save souls, to please God. Not just to be saved, not just to go to heaven, but to want to win souls for the kingdom, to want to be used by God in that capacity, to want to reach lives, to want to change lives, to want to speak a word into someone's life and see the transformation of God. But he wants you to have the right motivation for the work that you do for the kingdom. Amen. And it goes on the blessings, blah, 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 blah. So let's move on to the next church here. Chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the keys of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. God begins by saying, I am the one with the keys. Keys to what? The keys to David. What are the keys to David? The keys to the kingdom. I'm the one who decides who gets to go into a door. I'm the one who decides when to close the door behind you or in front of you. And if I close it, nobody can open it. And if I open it, nobody can close it. You know, this is important. You know, we sing songs, gospel songs, we write songs all the time. You know, God's got a blessing with your name on it. And it's so true that if God has blessed you, or has a blessing for you that nobody else can take your blessing. That is so true. But you can still miss your blessing if we don't come into line with obedience to his word and to his will. God's not just Santa Claus handing out presents. We have to come into order, line up with the will of God in order to be blessed. Amen. I know thy works, how I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. So they're doing real good. Philadelphia is doing real good. Verse 9 of chapter 3. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So God is saying, you know what, because you have done the right things, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to care for you. I'm not going to make you go through a temptation that's going to suffer the loss of your life. Continue to do what you've been doing. And then, of course, it gets into the blessing. Behold, he that overcometh, I will give him various things that God has promised. Amen. Amen. And let's see, where is the lucky one, the last one? Verse 14, the last church. The church that is probably preached about more than any other of the seven churches. You would think we'd spend more time on Philadelphia since they were doing the right thing, but no. Chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mightest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mightest be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with everlasting, with eye salve, excuse me, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sit down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Wow. Laodicea. They say that they are rich, but they are poor, that they are clothed, but they are naked. They don't have any need, anything, but they are wretched. Wow. This is a church that is so wrapped up in material things, possessions, houses, cars, land, that they can't even see their need. And so God has to remind them that they have a need and tell them to repent. He has to tell them that they are wretched, that they're not, it's not all good. It's all not great. But you've messed up and you need to repent. How many of us are satisfied with our stuff so much that we think we got it going on? I'm making it personal because I think the scripture has to be personal in order for us to get it. We cannot be so wrapped up in our own quest for things, trying to keep up with the Joneses, that we lose sight of the fact that God is calling us to repent. Jesus said, where your treasures are, there shall your heart be also. And, you know, when we look at what we value as people, sometimes it's hard to say we're striving for anything else but to be comfortable in this life. And there's nothing wrong with having a nice house. There's nothing wrong with driving a nice car, having nice clothes, you know, jewelry, if that's your thing, presenting yourself beautifully. We always want to present that Christians are blessed. But we got to keep it in check. We got to always keep in mind what is the most important thing in our life. Is it our stuff? You know, if your house catches on fire, is your Bible the first thing you grab or the last thing? Or is it good if it's in the trunk of the car waiting for next week? You know, we have to examine ourselves. The Bible says that we have to examine our salvation with fear and trembling, work it out. Make sure that we're right with God, that we're righteous, we're right with God. And we all slip up, we all make mistakes. Repentance is not a sinner thing. We have to repent as Christians because we mess up. We all mess up. Anybody that says they don't mess up, I don't care if they're a high bishop or a pope or somebody sitting in the back pew of the church, anybody that says they haven't messed up is just lying. Even the Bible says all has sinned. It says if we say that we have no sin, that we make him out to be a liar because he has said all has sinned. We all have to repent. We all have to be mindful of where our heart is. What do we love? Are we putting possessions before people? And that's even people in our own family. Are you putting the possession before people? Are you spending more time washing your car than you are playing with your kids? All right, I'm going to leave it alone. Amen. So that's been our messages to the churches. That takes us to chapter 4. So our next broadcast will start at chapter 4. Make sure you stay up with your reading. It's very important. If you get behind, the devil's going to try to get you to quit. So keep reading, keep pressing forward, keep listening to the broadcast. If you have questions, please submit them on the Facebook Bible study page or send me a private message on Facebook at I'll do my best to answer the questions. I don't know everything, so sometimes I have to tell you I don't know. You know, I'll try to find the answer, but sometimes I'll just have to tell you I don't know. And I hope you deal with that. All right, thanks again for tuning in, and I pray everybody be blessed. Have a blessed week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.